Let's turn to the word of the Lord at this hour. I ask for your prayers that the Lord will help us to have an understanding, that the Holy Spirit might illuminate his word. Let's turn to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. As we look at this passage of Scripture, I want to ask a question. What kind of plans are you making for your future? You know, when you're growing up, many people ask you, what are you going to be when you grow up? Especially these young people that are here. What are you going to be when you grow up? That's a very important question to ask and think about and consider and ponder of what is it? What do I have a bent toward? What is it that God made me to do? And to follow that and ask the Lord to direct you and trust Him that He'll lead you to where you need to be. That's a very important thing. Oftentimes when you get up in school, in high school, in college, you begin to think about other things of what kind of plans, where am I going to live, where am I going to get a job? And those are all very important. But I want us to talk about an even more important question tonight is, what plans do you have for life beyond the grave? What plans are you making? Are you prepared for life beyond the grave? Because the Bible teaches us very clearly that you and I are made to live forever. And last night, as Brother Tim preached, the Lord Jesus, He removed that veil and gave us a glimpse of heaven. And He gave us a glimpse of hell and the reality of both. They are a reality. Despite what culture wants to tell you, culture is telling you all kinds of things that are contrary to God's Word. But heaven is a reality, and so is hell a reality. But tonight I want to speak about the reality of the last enemy that shall be destroyed. That last enemy, one of the things that you and I are powerless over, and one of the things that is going to take us down, is death. And in this passage of Scripture, we're going to come face to face with death. Death is no respecter of persons. It has a slow, gnawing effect on every human being as our bodies begin to decay the older we get. It reaches into those that are of old age that struggle with their last few breaths, but it also reaches to the very young days of life all the way into the womb. There is no place where the cold hands of death does not grip and grab and bring down into the grave. And it's powerful. And it's something that none of us can overpower. It's something that none of us can wrestle with. It's something that even if we could find the fountain of youth, that death would overpower that. As often as you try to drink that fountain of youth, it is still going to take you down. Because ever since Adam's transgression, death has been introduced into the world. Do you know that death was not part of the original creation? There was a day that death had no place on this planet. Amen. Oh, what a glorious hour it was when all there was life. There was God and there was Adam and there was Eve and there was a holy marriage that was, they walked with God, the man and the woman. They walked with God in eternal life. They had life more abundant. God was with them. But oh, God had promised that the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 tells us, therefore as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men for that all have sinned. Death is a reality that we must face along with the grief and the separation that it brings. But you know tonight that even though that is a reality, we can face it with hope. You can have hope tonight. You can actually face it tonight and not have fear of when it comes. No matter what age you may be in, because it says the adversary, the devil, he has all mankind in bondage unto fear because of death and the power that it has over us. And he loves to hang that over us that we might be afraid of that day. But I'll tell you, the one that I want to tell you about tonight, he can remove that fear. Not that any of us are looking forward to that day, but oh, isn't it wonderful not to have the fear of that anymore? I used to have a great fear of it. But when you come to know the one that I'm going to tell you about in just a little bit, he removed that fear from me. And oh, what a hope that I have. And I pray that you're on the right path. Proverbs 4:19 says, "The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble." There are many that are traveling down the broad road that leads to destruction, and they will stumble into hell, a place of eternal death. Actually, death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire, and that will be the second death. But I don't want you to face it in that regard, but I pray that you'll be more like the next verse in Proverbs, that the path of the just is as a shining light, shining brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. Do you know that tonight I'm going to that perfect day? There's going to be a day that never ends, and it's going to be absolutely perfect, because everything that has been introduced by sin into this world will be done away with. All of it, every single bit of it, death and sickness and heartache and pain and separation and tears and sorrow. The one that I'm going to tell you about tonight, he has done everything good in that he entered into death and he destroyed death as he went to the cross. He abolished death and he rendered it inoperative, that if you will trust in him, oh, what a glorious day that awaits the children of God. So tonight I want us to have a crystal clear understanding of who Jesus is. We're going to enter into the town of Bethany, which is about 2 miles away from Jerusalem. And we're going to see how that death impacted a community. It impacted close to home. And many of us in here, we have been impacted by this reality of death. And I want to remind you, whether you're young or whether you're old, every time you go to a funeral from here on out, I want you to be reminded of the truthfulness of the Word of God, that God said, in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Every time you walk to a funeral home, you need to say, God's Word is true. And oh, how I need to live out the gospel a little bit more tenaciously now than I did before I went to this funeral home, because that is the same place that I am going to end up if Jesus does not split the eastern sky before that time. But we're going to find this family of a brother and 2 sisters, and one of the brothers had died. And every time that death hits a home, it brings about heartache, brings about pain. We're going to see that Jesus, even though they thought he showed up a little too late, he's always on time. Whether you're sick or whether you're dying, he's always on time. You know, often in the midst of sickness, we often question, God, where are you? We're going to get some answers to that tonight as we look in verse 1 of John chapter 11. Let's read. I want to read a few verses here and then skip down. It says, "Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again." Let's skip down to verse 17. "Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh to Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, or about a little less than 2 miles. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall arise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had said so, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then which were with her in the house and comforted her when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then Martha was come where Jesus was and saw him. She fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Tonight I want us to consider this thought that Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. From this passage I want us to consider the painful separation of death. You may be here tonight, you face that. And you know the pain that it brings and the heartache. When we see those that we love get sick and they pass away. Tonight I want us to see the passionate Savior who wept. What a glorious picture of Jesus in this passage. He reveals to us that love weeps. He would say that blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And then I want to conclude by seeing the power of God over death. Do you mean to tell me that there is someone that has power over death? Because death continues to bring my loved ones down to the grave. Over and over, generation after generation after generation, we have experienced what happened in Genesis chapter 5, where it says that Adam and he was married, he had sons and daughters, but after he lived 930 years, it says, and he died. If you get down to Methuselah and he lived 969 years, he had sons and daughters, and then he died. Generation after generation after generation, our families have been taken down to the grave. But oh, I want to tell you about one that even in the midst of that, that the Lord Jesus established a church that He said that the gates of hell shall not prevail against her, because He's got a message, an everlasting gospel that He wants proclaimed. As long as men and women are in this world, He's going to have the gospel proclaimed that there is one that has a power over death. And He's the one that I'm telling you tonight that said that I am the resurrection and the life. The one that is self-existent. The one that is in need of none of us to stay alive. But every one of us are dependent upon Him for our very heartbeat and our very next breath that would go into our lungs. But He needs none of us. But oh, how we need Him tonight. But we see Jesus, He enters into this place. And it says that Lazarus was sick. This was a certain man of Bethany, and he had two sisters that loved him, but he got sick. Isn't it awful when we realize that we live in a broken world, in a fallen world, and we get sick? You know, oftentimes we get sick, it's not It's not because you sinned or somebody else sinned. It's because we live in a fallen, a broken world, and sometimes we begin to question God of why am I sick? Why do I have to go through this? Why is there such difficulty? Why is there such pain? And we fail to remember the gospel that we're not immune, even though we've been saved by God's grace. We're not immune to the fallenness and the brokenness of this world. And you and I will face suffering. We will face difficulty. But that's what makes the gospel a little bit sweeter, that we know this one that is over. Power death. We know this one that is a great physician, and if it is His will that He might heal us, He has all the power in heaven and earth to heal us and to display His glory in the midst of our sickness and to carry us through that sickness all the way to the other side. Not that we might say, look how powerful and how good we are, but that we might be a walking, living testimony of the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that He can carry us through some of the deepest and the darkest valleys of our life. We don't want to go there. We don't want to be there. I'll tell you, as a family, we just walked through about a month ago or 6 weeks ago, actually this entire year, as our beloved Pop, he's been sick and he had to have brain surgery. And then about 6 months later, our son, the one that we love dearly, just as Jesus loved Lazarus, he came down and was sick, and the doctor said, we're going to have to operate on his brain. I'll tell you, that's not any words that I ever wanted to hear. I never wanted to travel down that valley, that deep, dark valley of suffering and pain where you can't do anything except pray and say, God, help us, because my youngin, I can't do a thing for him except pray that the doctors can give them the right medicine as he's crying out in pain. I'll tell you, we live in a broken and a fallen world that is filled with pain and filled with suffering and eventually is filled with death. But oh, I can tell you about one that can walk you through those valleys of the shadow of death, that even though it's painful, even though it hurts, oh, how God is there to display His glory. Oh, how He's there to comfort you and say, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm not going to leave you alone for this one. The devil might whisper in your ear, you did something to deserve this. I'll tell you, it's just a reminder that we live in a broken world. Now, sometimes we do sin and we get sick because of that sin. A drunkard that drinks all his life and he has a liver that is shot, that is a result of his sinful activity. But I'll tell you that even there, God's grace can help them in the midst of that suffering. But I want us to see here that even in the middle of this sickness, it says Jesus, He loved Martha and He loved Mary and He loved Lazarus. I want you to see that even though they had to walk through this painful journey, it did not diminish God's love for them. Although sometimes we begin to question and say, God, do you really love us? If you love us, why would you allow us to have to walk through these seasons in our lives? But I'll tell you that there's things that we don't understand, and God never called us to understand. He tells us in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. I can tell you with all assurance that He knows what He's doing. And I can tell you based on this passage here that God was at work in the midst of this sickness. Amen. In the midst of this suffering. Because He says here that in verse 4, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of Man might be glorified thereby. Amen. You know, I don't like walking through suffering. I don't like walking through pain, but I have noticed how God has used that in my life this year to draw closer and closer and closer to Him as I've had to be on my knees a little bit more and say, Lord, I don't know how to get through this one. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to even make it through it. Lord, I'm hurting so bad. I need You right now. I tell you that, oh, when we hurt and when we're in pain, we need to allow that pain to cause us to run to Jesus. Amen. Many in the world will say, God doesn't love you, I tell you, and they will run away from God. But I want to tell you that in the midst of that pain, in the midst of that heartache, God's love for you is not diminished. He wants you to run to Him. And you might be here tonight and say, preacher, I've been hurting, I've been suffering. Oh, my family member's been going through this. I've lost a loved one, or I've seen someone go through cancer or whatever it is. I'll tell you, I don't understand it, but I'll tell you, God can use it to draw you near to Him. And Mary and Martha came to understand what sickness and death was all about. They called for Jesus. They said, "Jesus, we need you to come quick. We need you to come quick. The one you love, your friend, he's sick. He's on the verge of dying." Jesus remained two more days. You know, often when we're in the middle of our pain, we think, "God, you got to do something right now." Sometimes He wants us to wait so that He'll see, do we really trust Him? Do we really believe He is who He says He is? He's going to show up. He knows what He's doing. He's in control. But sometimes we do have to wait. We've got to learn to trust Him. Jesus told His disciples that Lazarus is asleep. And they said, "Well, Jesus, if he's asleep, why do you got to... If he's going to wake up, then he's going to be okay." And He finally said plainly, "He's dead. We've got to go to Bethany." And the disciples knew that this was a hostile area already, because Jesus had been telling them, I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to Jerusalem." He had already set His face to go to Jerusalem because He said, "I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to suffer many things. The sinless one was going to suffer many things. The sinless one and the Holy One of God was going to be rejected of the elders, the very ones that should have approved of Him. They were going to reject Him, and He was going to be killed on the cross." But He said to them over and over again, "On the third day, I'm going to rise again." So He waits 2 days. He arrives, and Martha is there. She comes out to meet Him, and she says, "Lord, I know that if you had been here, my brother had not died." This is 4 days later after he had died. You know how so many times we say, "Lord, if you had done this," we're always looking for a different outcome. You know, this was the outcome that the Lord had planned. He knew what He was doing. Martha, in her question, she says, "But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee." Oh, how she knew that Jesus' prayers would be answered. Oh, the power of His prayers. There's so many more in His, that He's got it recorded for us in the Gospels. And Jesus said to her in verse 23, "Thy brother shall rise again." Oh, if she knew. Oh, if she had a glimpse and an understanding of what Jesus was saying right there. She didn't get it all. He said, "Your brother's going to rise again." And Martha, being a good Jew, she understood the resurrection at the last day. You know, this is basic understanding of the gospel, that there's coming a day when all the dead that hear His voice, everyone are going to rise up from the graves. If you were to go down to these graveyards or even out in the ocean where people have died, everywhere, every human being that has ever lived on the face of this planet, there's coming a day when every single one of them are going to be raised up out of the ground wherever their burial place was at that last day. And as according to Daniel, as Brother Tim mentioned last night, some are going to be raised to everlasting contempt or everlasting shame, and some are going to be raised to everlasting life. And Jesus had already said this in John chapter 5. He said, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which that all that are in the grave shall hear His voice and shall come forth, they that have done good." He's speaking of those that have trusted God unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. And He's saying, one of these days, all those that are in the graves are going to hear His voice. Oh, what a powerful one that we're talking about tonight, that He's able to raise all of them from the grave. And Jesus said to her, after she spoke of the resurrection, she was looking at something future. Oh, I'll tell you, God is right here in the present. Amen. She was thinking, "Jesus, we know that out in the future there's going to be this great resurrection of the dead." And Jesus stood right in front of her and He said, "I am the resurrection and the life." You know, this is a present thing right now. Amen. Do you know that Jesus has the power to raise the dead? Amen. He's going to raise everyone's physical body one day. But here's what I want you to see as well. As we have gathered here over the series of these meetings, night after night after night, we have been mourning. We have been crying. We have been weeping. We have been praying. We have been asking. We have been begging that God would speak and He would raise up the dead. I'm telling you, tonight, if you're lost in your sins, you are dead. You are dead. You have no power over sin. You have no power over death. You have no ability to have eternal life. You are dead in your trespasses and sins. But Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. You know He can raise you from the dead tonight? Was there anybody in here that was among the walking dead there as you were growing up and you knew that you were straying away from God, that you were walking in the graveyards of life? You were dead and you smelt of death. The aroma of death was all around you because of the lifestyle you chose to live. But oh, I'll tell you that God, His voice went calling out for you one night. And as you heard that voice, oh, how you heard that sweet voice, as we'll get to in just a minute, He was personal. He was intimate. And He said, I'm the resurrection tonight. I'm the resurrection today. Whether I got saved at 2:20 in the morning, I don't know when you got saved, but I tell you, He was the resurrection at 2:20 in the morning when most of the people in the world were asleep. I tell you, He raised me up from the dead and He made me alive together in Christ Jesus. Oh, I've been alive ever since. Tonight, I tell you, if you'll come to Him, if you'll hear His voice and harden not your heart, you can be alive unto God. I tell you, when you pass from death unto life, you'll know that you're alive. You'll know that you've been awakened out of that sleep and out of that slumber. You'll be able to open up those eyes out of darkness and you'll be able to see the light of day. Oh, what a glorious thing that is. To be able to know God, to be able to walk with God. And Jesus said here to her, He that believeth in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Oh, what a glorious thought that is. He that were dead, yet shall he live. Oh, as he's about to show Martha a few things about His glory and about His power. And then He says this in verse 26, whosoever liveth and believeth in Me shall never die. You know that I stand upon the shoulders of many martyrs that have trusted these verses. That even in the face of death, even in the face of death, I will not recount. Because I know the one that's even able to deliver me from death, or he's going to give me some more time in this life, or He's going to take me home. But either way, He said, fear not the one who can destroy the body, but fear the one who can destroy both body and soul in hell. He told Martha very important, he asked her a very important question. Do you believe this? She says, I believe that You're the Christ, the Messiah, the promised one of God. You're the Son of God. You're the one that was coming to the world. She had some understanding, but He was going to give her a little bit more understanding about who He was and who He is. But death always separates. Death is a separation from the soul, from the body. That's physical death. There's a spiritual death where, if you haven't been saved by God's grace, that there's a separation. Your sin has separated you from God. You feel that separation. And if that separation remains until your physical death, then all that awaits you is eternal death. And that eternal death is forever and forever and evermore. But that's the whole purpose why Jesus went to the cross, as we look at in just a little bit. But I want us to consider that in the face of this painful separation of death, I want us to see this passionate Savior who wept. Jesus had come to comfort His friends. He had seen that they were hurting. He knew Martha and He knew Mary. He knew Lazarus. They were hurting. You know, anytime we go through sickness and death and pain and suffering, we hurt. And Jesus has showed up to help, to comfort them. He groaned deeply in his spirit. And it said there in verse 35, Jesus wept. You know, Jesus was tempted in all points, just like we are, yet without sin. But He knew the feelings of our infirmities. You know, we often, as we go through difficult times, we wonder, Lord, do You really understand what I'm going through? Do You really understand the hurt that I feel, the pain, that the surprise, the shock? No doubt I can imagine that Mary and Martha were shocked. Lazarus may have been the wage earner in the family. And now they're wondering all these questions of how perhaps are we going to take care of ourselves? How are we going to get through this? They have all these questions that surround every time there's sickness and every time there's death. There's all these questions. There's all these issues. There's all these concerns. But you know that God is concerned about those. And He knows every intimate detail of those. If He knows the very hairs of our head, He knows those. If you're here tonight and you have a loved one that is spiritually dead, that is separated from God, and you have been in agony and pain, you know that He knows about that and He understands that. Just continue to seek Him and continue to call on Him. He knows He's the solution to all of it. He's there to comfort your heart. He's able to save those that are seeking for the salvation of their own souls. He knows all these things. Nothing takes Him by surprise. But it says here that our Savior wept. As I said earlier, love weeps. His dear sister was in deep grief at His feet, hurting and wondering, Jesus, if You had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. The Jews were grieving with Mary and Martha at the loss of Lazarus. The whole crowd was grieving. There was those that were, the Jews that were hard-hearted. Jesus wept over the unbelief that was all around Him. Can you imagine as Jesus, the resurrection and the life, He is coming to this world that is filled with death and He knows that it's not part of the original creation. The pain and the suffering and the heartache and the unbelief that where is God in the middle of all this? And He's standing right there in the middle of death, in the middle of darkness, in the middle of suffering, in the middle of pain. Many people say, what has God done about this? I'll tell you, He's come all the way down from heaven. He's entered into death. He's entered into our sufferings. And He would give death a death blow that we might have life and have it more abundantly. It says in the Scriptures that He would taste death for every single man. Oh, that He would enter in that. But as He knelt down at the graveyard, at the tomb of Lazarus, His heart was broken. Mary and Martha needed comforting. The Jews needed their eyes open because they were in unbelief. The disciples needed their faith strengthened, because they needed to be prepared for a greater event that was about to happen in just a few days. They had not seen anything yet. And Jesus wept, because sin, my sin and your sin, leads us to this path. For the wages of sin is death. He wept. But we must go further. Because if that's where we stop, then the gospel has nothing good about it. If we stop at the tomb and we stop there and we weep, we stop there and we mourn, and even if we offer the ministry of presence and we're there to comfort one another, if that's all that there is to this message of Jesus, that death is the end and that is all there is to say about the good news, then we really have no good news at all. But let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about Him. The one that I worship tonight, the one that I serve, the one that my daddy told me about, the one that my granddaddy told me about, that when he was facing death, as I was in his hospital room, he would quote Romans 8 back to me. The sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory that shall be revealed in us. And oh, grandson, even though all these things are working together for good to them that love the Lord, to those that are called according to His purpose, we don't always understand those, but I tell you, He taught me some things that even as He is facing death, there was something stronger inside of Him that was alive. Even as His body was decaying, there was something in Him that was alive. Jesus said, "Where have you laid Him?" And He goes to the tomb. They say, "Come and see." And so He goes to the tomb and He tells them that, "I want you to roll away the stone." Martha objects because at this point, after 4 days, Lazarus' body has decayed. It has already started to break down. And she says, "Jesus, you don't want to do that because that body stinks." In many ways, even though she has faith in Him, she's come to this conclusion that it is hopeless, that if you had come 2 days sooner, then everything would have been okay. But because you waited, I don't know that you waited 2 days. I don't know what took you so long. But because you waited a little while, this situation is hopeless. There's nothing else to do. But Jesus said that I am the resurrection and the life. She was looking future, but I'll tell you that He was standing right there in front of her, and He's about to show her that there the present power of God was there to raise up her brother from the dead. I'll tell you, the present power of God is here to raise you up from the dead. If you are dead in trespasses and sin, He is here. He's alive. He says, "I have the keys of death and hell right now." As He walks among His churches, I'll tell you, He has the power to save. He has the power to deliver. He has the power to call those that are dead back to life, to show you that I am, I am.
Amen.
That's who Jesus is. I am that I am. So Jesus stands before the grave. And He told Martha that, "Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, "Father," what a public prayer this was. "Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard me." He had to say that so everybody would know that He's talking to His Father. "And I knew that Thou hearest me always." Oh, what a glory it is to know that every prayer Jesus prayed. Oh, the connection that He had, the intimacy that He had. He said, "But because of the people which stand by, I said it that they may believe that Thou hast sent me." Oh, He was on a mission to seek and to save that which was lost. And when He had thus spoken, after He had prayed, He cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." This man had been dead for 4 days. His body had been decomposing. But don't you consider this. Jesus, with the power of His voice, called this man from the spirit world, started his heart, gave him breath, restored his decaying body, removed the odor of death around him, strengthened his bones, took away the atrophy of his muscles, opened up his eyes that had once closed in death, caused him to stand up, and through the power of His voice, called him to walk to the entrance of that tomb.
Amen.
Can you imagine this sight? As Lazarus is standing there and He said, "I want you to loose him and let him go. Take off those grave clothes, because when I call someone to life, I have the power of the resurrection and of life. And this man, even though you saw him take his last breath, you saw his eyes, Mary and Martha may have been there to put his close his eyelids. They may have checked his heartbeat and they may have checked his pulse. That man was dead. They'd been weeping for 4 days, but I'll tell you, when Jesus speaks, He's able to bring them to life again. And said many believed that Jesus was the Son of God. They saw Him in all of His glory, but oh, that's not the end of the story. Because you see, Lazarus went on to live, but he had to die again. in just a few days. This is where the good news gets, in bad English, gooder or great. In just a few days, instead of being in Bethany, Jesus would go to Jerusalem. He'd be betrayed by His friend who had lifted up His heel against Him. Jesus knew what rejection was like. Amen. Jesus would be arrested and He would be set to trial. He knew what injustice was like. You know that there's some perhaps in here that have faced suffering and it was a result of somebody else's sin. I've dealt with people that have been abused as they grew up, and it was nothing that they did in and of themselves to deserve it. It was because they lived in a broken world and they faced the sin of somebody else and they were the object of that. Jesus knows what that's like as well. Jesus was taken and verbally and physically abused. He was tired. He knew what it was like to be tired. We're Friday night of revival. Some of you are tired. I keep eating and I keep getting energy. Thank God for sleep. A little bit of it. Jesus knew what that was like. He knew what it was like to have people who loved Him walk away and not be there. He knew the pain of loneliness and of being alone. And He went to the cross. As He hung on the cross, He knew the pain of the consequences of sin. As the Father laid upon Him the iniquity of us all. And He cried out in the midst of that pain. He didn't run. You know, our pain causes us to run away from God sometimes. In the midst of His pain and suffering and agony. And it was unjust suffering because there wasn't anything that He did that was wrong. He said, my God, why have You forsaken Me? He felt the agony of the separation that sin brings upon us. He faced the separation that you and I might not have to face. The pain of the separation. And He said, Father, into Thy hands I commit My spirit. He tasted death for all mankind. If that was it, if I stopped here, if I stopped 5 minutes ago, it would have been... we wouldn't have very good news. And if I stop right now, it wouldn't be very good news. Because, okay, so what? He died on the cross. There were hundreds and thousands of men that died upon a cross. But not like this man. He had told His disciples on 3 distinct occasions in Mark's gospel that in 3 days I will rise again. I have the power to lay down my life and I have the power to take it up again. And on that third day, He didn't have to ask anybody else to roll away the tombstone. On the third day, it wasn't Lazarus that came up out of the grave. It was Jesus Christ. Amen. The resurrection and the life. And the thing that was different about Lazarus, and the difference about Jairus' daughter, and the difference about the widow's son of Nain, was that Jesus had died once to pay the price for our sin. That Romans 6:23 might be true. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He has the power to give you eternal life. If you will come to Him. John would see Him later, as I've already said, in Revelation chapter 1. And John was down at His feet. Because when he saw the glory of Jesus, the glory that one day we'll have eyes to behold, he fell down as dead. But Jesus said, "Fear not, I have the keys of death and hell." Tonight, if you're here, I hope you want to be made alive. Because this one who raised from the dead is going to be the one that will sit in judgment before you one day. And every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Will you humble yourself and will you seek Him for life? He's the only one that can give it to you. But I'm telling you, He can give it to you. He can give you more than you ever fathomed or imagined. Because those that trust Him, even though you may face suffering, the path of the just is as a shining light, shining brighter and brighter into the perfect day. There's coming a day where there'll be no more death, tear, sorrows, or pain. For the former things will be done away with. As we get a song and sing, will you seek Him? Will you come to Him? Will you ask Him to raise you from the dead? He's able, as we sing.